Testing, testing, hot outbound car. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Johnny here.
The Honeymooners Podcast. The only podcast that is all about the greatest show of all time. With the stars, Joe Conti and Louis Fats.
Howdy, raccoons and raccoonettes, and whatever else we would call somebody else who loves the Honeymooners the way we do. Welcome to episode number 3 of the Honeymooners Podcast, the only podcast that's all about the greatest show of all time. I'm Joe Conti, and this is my partner, Louis Fats.
Present.
Yes, he's the vice president, the Veep. He's the Veep.
Me a Veep.
welcome to episode number 3, and we were just talking about a couple of different things, but we were just talking about the one episode when they on stage, And for anybody who really knows the show, we don't have to explain to you what that is. If you're like a level one fan, then just hit pause, go watch On Stage, and you'll get what we're talking about. And we're not going to talk about the whole episode, but just the fact that when he would do the voice when he started acting,
yes, changing his voice,
yeah,
and it's an incredible voice too,
and it's so good. Rachel, you've come back, and I think I just love the fact, and I know. Tons of shows and movies have done this where the actors are acting, but they're acting being bad actors.
They're acting poorly.
Right. Yeah. But just watching him do that terrible, terrible voice. And you even when he does the Mr. Frampersham, you know, with his eyes.
Yeah.
Is he doing like a Cagney or something?
He's doing something.
Ed Norton, he was doing...
he comes in as Cagney. Norton comes in as Cagney.
Cagney or Mr. Peter Faversham? Laurie?
No, he comes in as Cagney.
That's Cagney, right. Yeah. Mr.
Faversham?
Right. You dirty rat.
like that you dirty rat kind of voice.
Dirty rat kind of thing. And but just he was like, Rachel. And then remember the one time when they were rehearsing, and then he does the voice, and Alice is just like, oh, she just kind of gives that, like, the looking up, like, oh.
Here he is, like, just, this, stop it with just, the overacting.
Terrible acting. He was terrible. And she was actually good because she was doing a love scene with somebody who she loves.
Yeah. And that's basically what it comes down to.
Right, yeah. But he used to. I was talking about how jealous Ralph Cramden used to be, and his jealousy was, for the time, I assume, was somewhat normal. I mean, dude, how many times did we hear? You hear stories about people like their grandparents. You know, they'll be like, "How did you and Grandpa meet?" Grandmother be like, "Well, you know, your father saw me at a dance." And he asked me to dance, and I was, like, not interested. And then he kept coming to the house, talking to my dad and my mom, and followed me to the malt shop. And you're like, this is stalking! This is craziness!
Acceptable 1950s behavior.
Exactly! Acceptable 1950s behavior. Stalk the woman until she gives in and decides to marry you. But we talked about... Ralph, how jealous he was of Alice, which goes back to what we were saying in episode 2 about how Ralph had a lot of unhealthy type of, not just because he was heavy, but like a lot of this unhealthy stuff going on in his head, not being happy because, you know, he wanted to hit the high note.
Yes.
And all that. But he was extremely jealous of Alice. Ed was not jealous of Trixie.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Not at
and,
all.
You know, obviously, they were both beautiful women.
Yes.
And it's not like he didn't love his wife, but he didn't have those type of, you know, that whatever it was, that negative type of thing going on in Ralph's life. And I know we're really, like, you know, we're talking like these people really exist.
To us,
they did.
They did. Okay.
And that's why you're listening to this. Because you think the same way we do.
They were real to me.
They were. It's like wrestling.
It was real. It was real. Yeah. Don't tell me it wasn't. I watched. It was real.
It's right there.
It's right there in front of me. I can see it.
but his jealousy would come out in nearly every episode, but at least in a very big way in a few episodes, and we would never see Ed Norton show jealousy except for one time when the Alice had the job.
The job.
And then they met her boss,
Tony Amico.
Tony Amico, who's this tall, dapper, handsome, madman looking guy.
Yeah.
And then he rips up the, you know,
Trixie's working paper.
Yes. Yeah. And there was one other one where he says, I'm going to go upstairs and burn Trixie's working papers. Or was that the same episode? Oh. He
question.
Said that. This could be a trivia question.
But for us. And we think we know it all.
Yes, exactly. I'm going to go upstairs and burn Trixie's working papers. He said that. Yeah. I can't believe neither one of us could think of that. But and his jealousy was like insanity. It was insane.
Yeah.
Like there was never a rational, even in the craziest moment with the glove, pardon my glove, when
pardon
they're in the window and... The stuff that they were saying.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, oh, he'll just be old fashioned. And then when he goes, well, some husbands really like to have a good idea. And they're just looking at each other like, and think about that. That's the 50s. And they're talking about cheating. Or at least he thinks. They're talking about cheating. And they're saying, well, a husband could give a really good idea.
Yeah.
Now you look back and you go, my God.
Yeah.
Like, what could they possibly be thinking
of? Yeah.
You know, like, this is filth if you're thinking about it.
Even with the babysitter one, with Harvey Wallstetter.
Oh,
who
yeah.
thinks she's cheating.
Absolutely. Oh, look, cocktails, how cozy.
Yeah.
Right. Even though when she left, she was in her regular clothes, and when she got there, she was in a beautiful dress. Which is fine. This is all just, you know, I mean, what are we going to
do? Yeah, that doesn't
matter. What are we going to do? Call up the Audrey Meadows estate and complain to them that how dare she go from regular clothes to a beautiful dress? But yeah.
But that was a jealousy part there. And the thing is, he comes almost to a violent state. He wants to rip Andre's head off. He
absolutely,
wants to
yep.
come on out Harvey. Like
he wants
to
fight Harvey.
Him.
Yeah, exactly. He wanted to. He ended up wanting. He almost fought two Harveys.
Yeah, two Harveys. Threw out Tony Amico.
Yes,
he actually just threw him out.
Yeah, just slapped put the hat on him.
Yeah.
Threw him out, and he also scared Mr. From Pardon My Glove, who left his glove.
Andre, interior decorator. Yeah,
interior decorator. Yeah. Right. Like he was. And for anybody that didn't know, in the one scene, Pardon My Glove, when Ralph finally confronts them and the guy takes off because he's like, I'm going to stick it down your throat, you gigolo. He's like, I'm out of here. Or he says, I'm leaving. And he says, Mrs. Cranston. Which I always, and obviously because he was supposed to be, you know, flustered. And he probably was a little flustered.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but you know, I think, oh wow, Bryan Cranston. I love Breaking Bad too. But yeah, those are the little things that we notice.
Yeah.
But yeah, his jealousy was so it was like it was endearing to us because you know the characters and we know how the show ends. We know that he loves Alice, she loves him, he would never do anything to hurt her.
Never.
He just loves her so much. Mm-hmm. And in the one episode at the end when with Tony Amico,
yeah,
Brother Ralph, which is one of my top three.
Yeah,
I love Brother Ralph. When she goes, oh no, that was one with Pardon My Glove because
My
he
glove.
Messed
Ralph,
it up because
goes,
they were
going to
have
I love
the house.
He goes, you love me.
And she goes, oh, I love you. And he's like, you love me? Why? And it was so great.
Yeah.
He goes, why? Like, it was so perfect.
Yeah,
like he wouldn't say, you do?
You do? Or, like, after I just went through all this and you still love me?
He just went, why? It was perfect. Like,
she says, after all these years, to be so, I'm gonna have a husband who's still so jealous.
Yeah, that could be this jealous. And if you think about it, that is so unhealthy.
Yeah.
That is such an unrealistically real life, absolutely unhealthy way of living.
Well, it comes down to it too. He doesn't trust Alice either. His what would you call it? His personality. Like we've even spoke you know, when we talk about it, you know, in our normal lives about the show, how he takes advantage of Norton.
Right.
And here he is. Alice is true blue. And even Norton says she's true blue.
She's true blue.
And he still
yeah.
doesn't trust her.
Right. Yeah. He doesn't trust her. And he does say in Brother Ralph, he goes, she goes, don't you trust me? He goes, I trust you. Yeah, I don't trust him.
Yeah.
But.
Or she says to another one, says, don't you trust me, Ralph? You're my husband.
He goes, oh, no. I'm your brother.
I'm your brother. But there's that thing there where he still does not. He doesn't even trust Alice.
Yeah. There's, and it's a. But it's all, and I guess, you know, it's the genius of Gleason to just have the, like, all of the minuscule crappy faults of
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a bad guy.
No.
He would never hurt anybody.
No.
But he's got all these little shortcomings
yes.
that come out huge in a 22-minute sitcom
right.
production.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what makes, it's obviously it's one of many, many things yeah. that makes a show.
He has no filter. Ralph right. has no filter.
Right, right.
He's just something goes in his head and he just explodes without thought. There's right. no thought.
Zero
it's just
rationale.
Reaction. It's yeah. just reaction.
There's so many times
and that it's just an explosion most of the time.
Yeah, yeah. Steamed. You know? And he's rarely, I don't know if there's ever been a time where his rationale was on the money. Like when he acted. Honestly, the only time, $99,000 question, when he got the piano and all these people were mm-hmm. helping him. You know, you got to go for it.
Go for it.
That was the only time. Every other time. Although I will say, the episode, what do you call it, on television, with the
Chef of the Future?
Yeah, with the Chef of the Future, was a great idea.
Yeah.
You know? I'm sitting there like, really? $200 to be on in front of millions of people? I want to get that spot. Maybe I could sell more of my DVDs for Pete's sake. You know? And obviously the money thing, I don't think they didn't look when they were writing these great scripts, they weren't sitting there going, well, that doesn't sound very realistic.
They're like, yeah, like they have $75 in the bank. Where's Alice coming up with $200 for the
right.
for the happy handy housewife helper?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Plus the commercial.
And then where did he get the money from? He never said where he bought the money, but they were just, I ain't got the money. I'm getting it. So yeah, so his rationale with Ed was 99% wrong, and his
yes.
jealousy with mm-hmm. her was 100% wrong. Yes. There was never a moment where she, even with Mr. Sanchez, you know, she thought he was, you know, a handsome guy, and he was nice and all that.
Mannerly, which they didn't have in that neighborhood.
Right.
Again, going back to that blue-collar thing.
Right.
People weren't, I'm going to say they were good guys, but they were not like that, and this was something so
they were
bizarre.
Men's men, you know.
Yeah.
They were, you know,
they were men's men. They like were he men's even said, dirty work. Look at my hands.
Right.
Look at my friend's hands.
Yeah. Those guys back then, when their wives were having kids, they were not in the delivery room. They
no.
weren't even in the waiting room.
No.
They were
working.
At the bar,
exactly.
Or they were at the bar or drinking, or celebrating, yeah. or working. Right. But even when, I just had a brain freeze, but. There was a one of the scenes where I can't think of it, but anyway, he was wrong almost every single time, and that's what made him such a likable character,
right.
you know. And Gleason allowed, and that's what was great about it, is that he allowed the other characters to shine, even though he was, you know. I don't know. Do you think people think that he was the center? I mean, obviously he's the centerpiece of the
yeah,
show.
Yes,
but. Like people that really, really love.
But even Norton comes in as being way more rational.
Yes.
Who's supposed to be not as intelligent
right.
as Ralph.
Right, a little wacky.
You know, not
you
as
know?
Intelligent.
Right.
You know, but still comes in so far more rational than
yeah.
Ralph.
Well, think about it. Even compare that character, like how he's supposed to be a little dumber, right?
Yeah.
A little dopey,
mm-hmm.
but he'll always come out with this thing all the time.
Yeah.
You know where I get that? Where you see that? Cheers. Coach was like that. Although Coach was exaggerated because
mm-hmm.
Coach was so off the wall and hilarious, but then he would come out. But that happens all the time in sitcoms where the person who's like either dopey or not sane or whatever will just all of a sudden come out with something so prophetic and genius. And you're like, where did that come from?
Right.
Of course it came from It came from the Art Carney character.
Yeah.
It came from Ed Norton.
Ed Norton.
Because he was supposed to be the dumb guy, but he really wasn't.
No.
He was just, he was dopey.
He said some once, maybe you remember you were wrong last night.
Right.
Is it to say, Ralph, you're not always right.
Yeah.
You know, you fly off the handle and I'm here to calm you down.
Yeah. So he, that, and, you know, he, you can argue on who was more important, but Gleason has been, it's been documented, and he said Art Carney is a reason why that show was so great.
Without a doubt.
But I don't know what metaphor you can use, but it's like, you know what? Maybe Gleason was the cake, but Art Carney was like the frosting, and the everything, icing, and the icing and the candles and everything. Because he wasn't, it was more than just, you know, hey, he's just, you know, like a pretty girl. Yeah, well, she's just, you know, she's just good on the eyes.
Yeah.
He was good on everything.
Everything. Everything.
He was just perfect.
And the thing, too, about him is like, yeah, his finest moments are when he's with Ralph.
Right.
He really doesn't shine when he's by himself, because there's not many scenes where Norton is actually by himself.
Right.
But he is there. He's like, he's just like that sidekick thing.
Yeah.
Waiting for that line to underline Ralph's line.
Right.
You know, and it's...
And he's never... And to be honest, he's like never been wrong. If you think about
it. No.
You know, he's rarely ever been wrong. Where he is like, where he really had to apologize to Ralph. The only time he really had to was when he gave him the ideas to Mr. Monahan.
Mr. Monahan, yeah.
And they were end up being Ralph's anyway.
Right, Ralph's
and
like
he
that.
Realized
yeah.
it. So he, it's just, it's, I can't stress how much, like there's so many things I want to talk about.
I know.
But we're trying to make it so we don't do one 14-hour podcast. We're trying to break this down into little snippets.
Like on Ed Norton's hat. I mean,
yes, exactly. We've actually figured out, Lou has actually figured out how much time Art Carney, Ed Norton, was on the show without wearing his hat.
Yeah,
like, that's insanity.
Yeah, it is. It is.
You are a metal case. I think he only says that once, right?
You know, it's funny. I don't know if you remember. There was a cartoon called The Honey Mousers.
Yes.
You've seen that.
And yes.
He repeats that line in that several times.
Becomes like that moniker, line.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's like one of them things where, did he ever say it?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of like the play it again, Sam thing.
Yeah, like play it again. He never said
he
it.
He never said play it again, Sam. Did he ever say, you are a mental
you
case?
You are a mental case. He may, if he did, it was
it's
one time.
Once.
Yeah. Crazy, right. crazy.
All right. Trivia.
Okay, so we're going to give the answer
to last episode's trivia.
Last episode's trivia. Right.
And that was, what is the blood type?
Ralph's blood type.
What is Ralph's blood type? And Ralph's blood type is?
Taken by Dr. McDonald. It's A. Ralph is type A.
Type A. I always wonder if that was Gleason's... It probably was. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
What was he going to do? Not do, hey, might as well do his blood type anyway. So, all right.
Okay. And, so this week's trivia.
Okay.
Well, we just consider this is a level three. This is a tough one.
Yeah.
Okay. They have a known address that's repeated.
The Cramdens
live at a known address that's repeated in several shows.
Right.
But there's one episode where Ralph gives a different address.
Right.
I'm going to say the street is the same.
Yep.
It's the house number.
Two different house numbers.
So give us the two different house numbers that are mentioned during the series.
Yep.
And that's with this week's trivia.
Yep. So. And what's great is that we give the trivia, but it's not because we're going to know if anybody gets it. It's just for them.
It's just for them. Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, maybe just go back. Maybe you know it. Maybe you're struggling with it. Maybe you go back to see the episode.
Yeah.
Where you could find it.
You got to go to Honeymooners Night Class and take some courses so you could get a little bit up to speed in what we're talking about over here. All right? All right. That was a quick one. And we will... yeah, I guess we'll see you guys next time. That was episode number 3 of the Honeymooners podcast. I'm Joe Conti, Louis Fats.
Over
Don't
here.
Forget to share this episode, or just go on. You can go to YouTube, and there's the promotional video. If you just put the Honeymooners podcast and share that with your friends, But let people know who are fans of the show if they want to take a listen. And also, me being a comedian, I have my own show. It's called The Conti and Kenny Show. And we do it live every Monday night. Do it. We're live. You're on the air.
You're on the air.
It's every Monday night at 7 p.m. It's me, my partner Kenny Michaels, and Joey Image. And we do a two-hour show. And that's also able to be podcast. So we'll see you guys next time.
And me, I still have nothing going. So
Lou still has nothing going on. Not even on social media.
Nothing.
He asked me about Facebook, and he was like, I don't know which book. I don't have one of these books in my shelf. I'm like, no, it's not a book, Lou. Lou knows nothing.
I'm getting better. He's actually texted Joe last week.
Yes, Lou actually sent me a text, and he used an emoji. Yes. And, yeah, he wasn't sure what it was, but he just gave an emoji. So, all right, we're out of here, and we'll see you guys next time.
Good night. We'll have to do this again real soon. Yeah.
How about tomorrow night?
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.